Blog Talk Radio.
LifeQuest Christian Network.
Welcome to the LifeQuest Christian Network and Reflecting His Gifts with Sissy Ellison. And we're waiting for Sissy to call in. This is Alexandra Clare, and our guest tonight is going to be Patrick Whaley. Pat, are you there?
Hello, Alexander. Yes,
hi,
I'm
it's so
here.
Nice to see you. Yeah, not so nice to talk to you.
Oh, and you too. I so missed
you. Yeah. Yes, I've missed you too. And Sissy's going to be calling in any second. This glitch is my fault. And so I'm just waiting for her to show up on the screen. But in the meantime, we'll go ahead and get started. I know that you are just came back from, I'm guessing that you just came back from Ukraine. Is that right?
Well, actually Moldova. But I've been in Ukraine, Moldova, Romania, Bulgaria here these last few months.
Okay. All right. And Sissy is with us now. And Sissy, Pat was just saying where he's just come back from, but I'm going to let you take over.
Okay, Alex. Thank you. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Sissy. And thank you, Alex.
I'm going to go on and do my regular intro, and then we're going to get right into your interview, okay?
Okay.
We'll do a
great.
Little welcome to our guests. Welcome to Reflecting His Gifts. I'm Sissy Ellison, your host, and I believe that every person can have a God-given purpose, a gift or a talent, a testimony that is meant to impact this world for the good and bring glory and honor to God. One of the greatest ways that we can serve God is to obey His command to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Many of God's children have felt the call of the Holy Spirit to do just that, and they have obeyed. What an awesome privilege to carry the Word of God to other nations, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and bringing others into salvation through Jesus. America has a church almost every one of its streets. The Word of God is available to everyone, and we can freely express our faith. However, in many nations, that religious freedom is not experienced to that degree. In fact, Christians sometimes have to hide their faith for fear of being persecuted, tortured, imprisoned, and even killed. The Word of God is like precious gold to them. It sustains them in their persecutions and trials, and sometimes they must even meet secretly to pray together and to hear messages from the Word of God. My guest this evening is Reverend Patrick Whaley, who felt the call of God upon his life to share the gospel in Russia and the Ukraine. He founded Sasha Ministry, and he spends much of his time in Ukraine planting churches and sharing the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. Patrick has been my guest before, and I love having him on the show because he gets us up close and personal information about the current events in Russia and the Ukraine, as he also shares his very valuable ministry work with us. It's my pleasure to welcome back to our program Reverend Patrick Whaley. Hi, Patrick.
Thank you, Sissy. It's so great to be back this day on your program.
It's so good to have you. Yes. Patrick, for those who haven't heard you on the program before, why don't we begin with how and when you first felt the call of God to go to Russia and the Ukraine?
Thank you. I had been a pastor. I graduated from seminary and then had been a pastor for 10 years in Memphis, Tennessee, and then had the opportunity to go to a larger church and did that. And a part of that had the opportunity of going to China. So my first international trip was doing exactly what you just said there in the introduction, going to China. This was right after Tiananmen Square. And truly, the people were meeting in darkness, just holding candles, very quietly and reverently studying and sharing the scriptures and praying together. It was such a moving experience. And one of the persons asked me a question that I've never, ever forgotten. Does knowing Jesus make a difference in your life? And then how do you know that it does? It was soon after that that I had the opportunity to go to Russia. The Berlin Wall had failed, communism had, and the countries, the former Soviet Union, had broken up. And it was a great opportunity to go and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people in which the church had been closed all those years of communism, in which they were taught there was no God. There was museums on atheism, and truly, there was not the spirit of Jesus Christ as a part of that community in all these different countries. And so we went for a two-week trip, like so many people in churches go on these two-week trips. And then that was such a great experience that the people in Russia asked me to come back and could I spend a month. And so just a couple of months later, I went back and spent a month. And then I started spending about a month twice a year and did that from 1991 to 2006. The church that we first planted grew to become the largest Methodist church, not only in Russia, but in all of Europe, excluding the countries of the United Kingdom.
Wow.
And so the bishop over there asked, what did we do? Well, it was prayer, it was small groups, it was missions and outreach to others. There's not a word in the Russian language that means volunteer, mean giving, because they were always told exactly what to do. And so we gave hope and healing to the hopeless. We gave Jesus Christ, because everybody has a hole in their heart that only Jesus can fill. And
yes.
So the church grew and grew. And so the leaders over there asked, Patrick, you did that in one church. Can you do that in other churches? And so in 2006, God changed everything and allowed opportunities to happen that we were able to go full-time to Russia and the countries of the former Soviet Union. So I'm the teaching pastor, and I have the great joy of leading conferences and training events, summer camps, all across the 16 countries of the former Soviet Union and then some other countries of Eastern Europe. And then after we leave those conferences and training events, you know, you go someplace and you hear something good and you go back home and you say, how do I implement that in our place? And so so to me, the greatest joy is then going to all these different communities. Some cities are 4 or 5 million people. Other places, it might be 200 or 300 people that live in those villages. But to go to all the different sizes of cities all across the 12 time zones of the former Soviet Union and helping to plant churches and helping to start Bible studies and small groups and vacation Bible schools and youth camps and mission projects, and to see the church grow and to see lives transformed right before your very eyes. And then we
Patrick,
get to go make circles.
You've just described something that I believe very, very firmly in, and it's that we should never despise small beginnings, because those are where the growth comes from. A small beginning can mushroom into this very wonderful ministry that you have today. Those small groups, look at where they've taken you. Tell us about Sasha Ministry and how it got started. That's one of the ministries that came from these small beginnings that you had. Tell us about Sasha Ministry.
Absolutely. So Sasha is a very popular name over there for both males and females. And so whenever I say the word Sasha, people think of the countries of the former Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And we use the letters of Sasha to stand for Shepherding a Servant's Heart. Amen. Shepherding a servant's heart, amen. Because I truly believe that's what we're called to do. I'm not called the pastor of any one city or church or location, but the indigenous people is to train them, encourage them, support them, empower them, give them the resources that they need, work side by side with them so they'll learn and understand. Because all of these people just came out of the countries of the former Soviet Union. And so they grew up not knowing God. And these younger people grew up not knowing God. And so as Barnabas was a mentor to Apostle Paul, then I feel like Barnabas and Paul and mentoring others all across this area. So that's such a great, great joy is being that mentor and teacher and supporter, not letting anybody fail, listening to them, encouraging them and their churches, and empower them. You know, here in America, we'll want to take pastors out to have lunch together, or very honored when pastors come to your home for a home visit, or to have pastor pray for you at church individually. It's such a great honor. Well, that's not the case over there, because for the masses, we're more like cult leaders or sect leaders, and especially in Russia and the Stan countries, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, some of those countries, in which Protestants are, you know, are feared. And
right.
It's the grandparents that don't want their grandchildren to come. And so, anyway, it's not popular to be a pastor. It's difficult to be a pastor.
Well, yes, and that's even more fulfilling and to you as a pastor to know that it is a little harder there. It's a labor of love for you, and I feel that in your voice, and I feel that from your heart. I know. I can tell. I can tell. Well, tell us who is Sasha. There is a Sasha, or was a Sasha. That name has some meaning, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does. In 2005, when the bishop of that area asked me, we met together in Pskov, Russia, where we first got started, and asked me how we started doing all this. And of course, it's all from the grace of God. And then asked if I would be willing to do this more and more. And so our family prayed about it, church prayed about it, a variety of different close friends, we came and prayed. But there was a man named Alexander. He was a rough and tough Russian military official. His wife, Rima, was one of the very first persons who started coming to a church. And in fact, it's the grandmothers, and I want to emphasize that to everybody at home, that we can do this in our very homes and in our very communities. We don't have to go to Russia or Ukraine or any place. I mean, we need it right here in America.
Right.
But it was the grandmothers, and Rima was one of these grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a hole in her heart that only Jesus could fill, and she started coming along with some other grandmothers, started coming, and we started these small groups, and the small groups would meet in each other's homes. Well, her husband, this rough, tough Russian military man, came home one day and asked his wife, Rima, if she was still going to that Protestant church, and she said yes, and he beat her up so bad that she was sent to the hospital and spent several weeks in the hospital recovering from her injuries. You don't go to Protestant church. You can go to the Russian Orthodox Church, but they speak in an old Slavic language that nobody understands. And we try to teach with the heart that Jesus Christ wants that personal relationship with each one of us.
Yes.
Well, when Rima got out of the hospital, those ladies met together every single week. But this time they met in a different location, on a different day, at a different time, so nobody could figure out where they were meeting or who they were meeting with. But it was a group of about 15, 16 ladies that were meeting, that was growing in their faith, that was praying for their husbands and praying that Jesus Christ would be an important part of their lives and change the city of Pskov and, in fact, change all of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Husband Alexander asked her again, Rima, are you still going to that Protestant church? And she said, yes. But this time, Alexander, and the nickname for Alexander is Sasha. This time, Sasha didn't get mad at her. And he says, something's changing in my life.
Oh.
He says, I'm not drinking as much. I'm not smoking as much. I'm not cussing like I used to. And she says, that's because we're praying for you. That's because God is working on your heart. That there's a better life than the life that you've been working on.
Yes.
Well, I wish I could say that he was baptized that night, but I can't. But 5 years later, Sasha was baptized in the Christian faith and became the nicest, most gentle man you've ever met.
Wow,
leading prayers
Patrick.
Within our worship services, sharing his faith witness. It was amazing, and he was such a military stature that many other people took notice of that.
Yes.
And so when the bishop called asking for my decision, it was one morning in 2006, and we had agreed and said yes, that we were coming. And that evening we got a message that Sasha had died. And so it just seemed right that if this rough and tough military man, Alexander, could become Sasha, who loved Jesus with all of his heart, then anybody in Russia and the countries of the former Soviet Union could do the same. And so our committee, we have a board of directors, and our committee just felt like it needed to be named Sasha, because that's our goal for every single person.
I agree with that decision, and you've just talked about something else that I've been thinking about. Why is Christianity so transforming? And I hit upon the answer. I thought to myself, it is love, and who is love? God is love. Jesus is love, and love is the thing that changes people. I can't think of any other religion or faith that has such a theme of love as Christianity. God is love. Jesus came and died for us to show his love for us and God's love for us. So that's what transformed Alexander or Sasha. That's what transformed Saul into Paul. That's what transformed me, Patrick, and you. And the most wonderful thing about the Christian faith is the love of the Christian people once they meet Jesus, don't you think?
Amen and amen. And as I travel, that's what people are searching for and looking for, something to hang on to out of the darkness and hope that Jesus is love, and Jesus does give us the hope and the peace that passes all understanding. That we look, people over there look at the bottom of a vodka glass or look at smoking or other types of activities, but we know it's Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And the same thing's true in America. As America continues to change, we look for satisfaction in lots of different ways, but it's only the love of Jesus Christ that can save any of us and transform any of our lives.
Yes, it is. And you and I both know that. And Patrick, tell us why this ministry of yours, Sasha, is so important to the Ukraine and Russia.
Most of the pastors and most of the church members come from a background in which there was no God within their families, within their life, within their communities. But some grandmothers, and I give thanks and praise to these grandmothers, go to the Russian Orthodox Church. It's a wonderful church that has carried on the traditions of the faith. It was closed from 1917 to 1991, all those years of communism, but it's the grandmothers that never forgot, and they kept that faith alive all these years. But for the younger people growing up, the rituals of the faith has no meaning or value for their lives. Orthodox Church, very, very good. I want everybody to hear that, and that Jesus Christ is Lord. But if the Orthodox Church is not reaching everybody, Jesus Christ wants to have a personal relationship with every single person. So we need to look at other ways and other avenues of doing that. And so we go to universities and parks and places in which people of all ages gather, and we share Christian love and peace and hope and understanding and read scriptures together. We work with our pastors and church leaders, and just like in the days of the New Testament, we take church leaders from one city and we travel to another city to help start these churches and find people within this new city to help establish the ministries. And the ministries, prayer, Bible study, and small groups, sharing about life situation and how God's a part of all of our lives, and missions and outreach. And it's that missions and outreach that's so important, whether that's helping homeless people or having soup kitchens, because the financial difficulties in that part of the world are so, so difficult these days. Helping mm-hmm. university students that are having difficulty in their studies and in their daily life situations. Families with the children with many disabilities. There's mm-hmm. hundreds of ways, just like here in America. But mm-hmm. over there, there's nobody to listen to them, nobody to help them, nobody to support them. Like we have mm-hmm. so many, both church-related and secular ministries in America. They just don't have any of those to help. And we know, as we preach and we teach, that it's Jesus Christ. So in the midst of doing the missions and outreach, we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that pulls us together. We become a team when we do mission projects together. And so mm-hmm. it's just so exciting. Every city's different. Every church is different because it's made up of the people of that community and what are their needs and hopes and dreams, God's dreams for their life. And we minister. So it's not cookie-cutter churches, but it's truly ministering in that particular way to that given community.
Awesome.
And again, time zones.
Yeah. Well, Patrick, who is, or what is, am I saying it right, Vala, V-A-L-A? Would you tell our listeners about Vala?
Yes. But Vala's one of the first people that we met. When we started doing Sasha ministry, we had already had the experiences with Pascal and with Sasha and with that church, and had started meeting people at other churches. And Vala was a very, very young Christian
mm-hmm.
who was just growing within her faith and understanding. And so we enabled her to grow and to share and to talk. She was from Voronezh, Russia. Vala mm-hmm. then went on to our seminary that was in Moscow, Russia, and she graduated from that seminary. But it's difficult to leave your home city and then a city like Moscow in which you had your close friends from seminary. And she was sent to Kaliningrad. That would be like sending somebody from Miami, Florida to Alaska. I mean, about the distance away from home, the different climates, different situations. Most listeners have never heard of Kaliningrad, but it's a little piece of Russia between the countries of Lithuania and Poland. It's one of the most difficult places that I have ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And for a young 22-year-old female to be pastor of a church there was extremely difficult. I have a picture, and it's got four people in it. It's got a pastor by the name of Natasha, who was pastor of that church, and she was being moved to a larger church. A young man that we were baptizing that day, who became baptized within the Christian faith, who is now pastor of the church in Kaliningrad. Mm-hmm. Vala, and this was her second week in being there, and myself. Well, Vala left that church on three different occasions and went back home. She just wasn't called to be there. But every time the bishop asked me, go get Vala and bring her back. And so I would do that, and I would stay with her, and we would work together, minister together. To make a long story short, Vala graduated this summer from Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. with her PhD, and she'll go back to the Moscow Seminary and become a professor teaching young pastors or young people to grow up to become pastors within the Christian faith.
Isn't that wonderful? That's so awesome.
And so she'll be the first one to tell you, without Sasha ministry, without us being there encouraging and empowering, she would never be a pastor today. But now she will be a pastor of pastors. And so the tradition, the faith goes on, like from Barnabas to Paul to Timothy. And that's the way it continues. And there's many, many stories like Vala of people that we have trained and mentored that are continuing within the faith. Rima, who I spoke of earlier, has gone on to represent the laity of Russia at some World Methodist Church meetings. And so it's just so exciting to see all these people continuing to grow in their faith.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Well, Patrick, I know, well, before we get into this, I have an important question to ask you. But before we go on, we're going to pause for just a few moments to hear a word from our sponsor about the exciting What's In series from your friend and mine, gifted author Alexandra Clare. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Amen.
The Woods End series by Alexander Clare. When Andrea is framed for murder, she discovers that divorce cannot sever the ties from a dangerous cult. Follow Boston police detective Jared Scheel as he sets out to solve a murder and kidnapping, only to confront a vast conspiracy competing to produce the last Antichrist of world history. Against the backdrop of drama and intrigue, the Woods End characters come to see that demons are on their last assignments. Bible prophecy unfolds in real time, and Jesus Christ is at the door. Two books, Woods End, and the thrilling sequel, The Year Between the Wood. Download from Kindle, Nook, Screwpulp.com, or purchase the softcover at Amazon. Also by Alexander Clare, a work of nonfiction, discerning spirits, visionary gifts, and practice. Find it all at alexanderclare.com. LifeQuest Christian Network.
Welcome back to Reflecting His Gifts. We're talking with one of our favorite guests this evening, Reverend Patrick Whaley, who is telling us about his work with Sasha Ministry in Ukraine and Russia and sharing some wonderful and heartwarming stories about the faith of Christians in that country and how they've grown in the Lord and been nurtured through Sasha Ministry. It's just wonderful to hear these stories. Patrick, I know you spend a lot of time in the Ukraine and Russia, but you're here in the United States right now. So what brings you back to the States?
Yes, I came home very unexpectedly. I assure you, I would much rather be over there these days continuing the ministry. But my brother and sister contacted me, and my mother has become very, very ill. So I'm here with my mother in Oklahoma City, and she's only got a few more weeks. And it's so important for us as Americans to be here to love and to cherish these moments, to tell the stories and the memories, and that's just a part. And death is a part of all of our lives, that we're born and we live life, but it's short. Even my mama's 92, and no matter how long the life is, it's short in the kingdom of God. But we have that reassurance, as sad as we might be, that our loved ones love Jesus Christ, and Jesus loves them, and there's heaven, and all the pain and troubles and difficulties will fall away, and that one day all of us will see each other again. There's that peace that truly passes all understanding, that hope, that promise that we have in living the Christian life. That's a great promise for all of us. But I want to reflect back to my work overseas again. I have the great opportunity of participating in many, many funerals over there. To have an American man to be a part of your family and community, it's a great joy to help in every aspect of life, whether it's daily ministries or weddings or funerals. And over there, again, it's rituals that they go through. And most people are non-believers, and so they believe that's the very end of life. And so the weeping and the wailing and the emotions that come through, not only during the service of a very, very loud emotional crying, but for days and weeks after that, of how their lives are changed because they just can't get over the emotion that their loved one is gone and gone forever.
Yeah.
And so such a big difference. And so if I preach funerals, it's God's amazing love and grace, and that heaven there awaits us if the person's a loved one that was a believer in Jesus Christ. And if the person wasn't a believer in Jesus Christ, a time for each one of us to remember that God offers us that personal relationship. All we have to do is believe.
Absolutely.
And so at one of the funerals that I did, once you do the funeral, and the funerals take place in the person's home lots of times, and sometimes in the church, but sometimes in the people's homes if they're not church members any place, or in front of their apartments. So we were walking from this person's home to the cemetery, and you always walk to the cemetery, no matter how far it might be. Sometimes it's been as far as 7 miles, 7 kilometers, to walk to the cemetery. But there was a man that I had never met before that joined me on that walk, and he said he has never heard a funeral like that before, of God's amazing love and grace and that hope for each one of us, and he wanted to know more about God's grace. You see, when I do these funerals, there's lots and lots of people that would never come to our church that I have the opportunity of speaking to, and maybe that's the only chance that I have in sharing with them God's amazing grace.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came up to me and wanted to know more about that and says, could we meet the next day? And so we had lunch together the next day, and I didn't realize at the time that he was a talk show host on a TV station, kind of like the Today Show or Good Morning America for the country of Ukraine, that's broadcast on satellite, that several different countries get that TV program. And so as we were having lunch that day and we're talking about Jesus, and he says, people here don't understand that. They either don't have faith or it's a different type, and they just don't understand what you're talking about, and it's the promise of Jesus Christ within each one of our lives. He says, would you come talk on TV and let us be interviewed? And so we went in, and he showed me the sofa and everything that we would be at. And I said, oh, nobody's going to listen to me if I sit on the sofa. So we did a cooking show. I cooked hamburgers because I was convinced, I can show you the videotape. It's on my Facebook page, the videotape of this. And so I cooked hamburgers because I thought people would turn in and would continue to watch if they saw us cooking hamburgers. And then the whole time that I was cooking, yes, we talked about hamburgers a little bit, but most of the time we talked about Jesus Christ. And
that's
Jesus
wonderful.
Christ wants a personal relationship with each one of us. And truly, many new people came to our churches because of that. And I heard from pastors and church members from 7 different countries following that TV broadcast. So you never, ever, ever know when God's going to open a door for you to share. But again, it's that hope and that promise. And so for families here in America, to cherish every moment that you have with your loved ones and make Jesus Christ the center of each one of those relationships, and to know without a doubt that if we believe in Jesus Christ, that God's got a special place for each one of us, that we'll all see each other again for all eternity.
You
what
are
a great
so right.
Blessing that is.
One of my favorite scriptures, Patrick, is in John 14, and I think of it quite often. And I think the older we get, the more we begin to rejoice and really kind of get excited that when our life ends here, it's not over. It's really going to begin in the place we were always meant to be. And that scripture is, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. This is Jesus talking. He says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And you know, that is such an exciting thing to me, to think that there is a place for me when I leave here. When any Christian leaves this earth, we will go to a place that has been especially prepared for us. And that's our great hope, isn't it?
Amen. And I know I'll see Sasha from Russia one day, and I'll see pastors and friends that I have met in so many different countries. As together, the whole world will celebrate in that place that God has. I use that Bible verse from John 14 in every funeral that I do because it's such an important verse. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, Patrick, I know your mother must be a very wonderful and special lady for you to speak so highly of her. I know, too, that she saw you through a very difficult time in your own childhood. Can you share that story with our listeners tonight? That's a very special story of a very dedicated and loving parent.
God never gives up on any of us. I want every listener to understand that. That God is with us each and every day of life, and one difficulty becomes a celebration and becomes an opportunity for you to share your faith with someone else. When I was young, I couldn't speak properly. I would slur all my words. Many people in the countries of the Soviet Union think I still don't speak properly when I don't speak the Russian language perfectly every time. But I really couldn't speak properly and just slurred the words. And so I got out again today as this memory, and my mom and I looked. I went to speech therapy 3 times a week at the University of Oklahoma. But then every day, as my mom would iron clothes or wash the dishes or cook or those activities around the house, we made cards that had sounds and words and Bible scriptures of words that I couldn't say very well. And we played all types of games. She would stand beside me doing her work, and I would practice and practice and practice. I went to speech therapy to the age of 9. But these cards and all that time that we spent together, not only learning the words and the sounds and how to speak properly, but learning those Bible verses that became key as part of my heart, that now I can share those Bible verses with others. And so what was a stumbling block, and we both cried together today as we remembered that without her helping me, I couldn't speak at all here in our own home or here in our community or school. But now I'm going all over the world being able to speak and to teach about Jesus. And
that
is so
awesome, Patrick. And you know, while you were saying that, I was thinking, God was preparing you even then, and your mother was a willing and obedient servant of His to minister to you that way. And the fruit in your life today, I always say that the people who have planted good seeds in my life, family or good friends who have planted those spiritual seeds and spent time with me and loved me that way, when fruit is produced in my life, spiritual fruit and fruit for the kingdom of God, it's on their tree too. God credits them as well. So your mother has a star in her crown, I'm sure, because she spent that time with you. And today you are using that voice of yours, which is a very wonderful speaking voice, to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I think God used her in a very awesome and wonderful way in your life.
And I tell people that I work with overseas that if God did that within my life, whatever those stumbling blocks that they have in their lives, that through Jesus Christ they can overcome each one of those to become the church members, to become the pastors, to become the leaders that God intended for each one of them to be. You know,
right. God specializes in that.
It's truly shepherding a servant's heart. Every single person is a shepherd, or Jesus is the shepherd that wants a love relationship with every single person. And God just wants that relationship. And every person's got to overcome obstacles and struggles and difficulties and that lack of hope. But that only Jesus can give us the direct path and answer.
Well, I was going to say, you know, that's God's specialty. He delights in using the foolish to confound the wise, making lemonade out of lemons, raising up those that others deemed as hopeless or useless. Just look at all the people He ministered to. So God delights in taking those impossible situations and people and making great leaders and messengers of the gospel out of those. I just love to hear stories like that. It gives a lot of hope, doesn't it, to others?
Oh, absolutely. And I can give you a list of 100, 200 names of people overseas that have gone through life struggles and difficulties that are now church leaders and pastors and active with youth groups and working with children or working with disabled children or working with homeless, that never, ever would have done that without them knowing the love of Jesus Christ within their own hearts and lives.
Right. And our own difficulties can be even things that God uses to give us compassion toward others. And I dare say that when you encounter someone with a speech problem or a difficulty like that, your heart goes out to them and you know how to minister to them because of your own. God says to comfort others with the same comfort we have received. And I'm a big believer in that. Our own trials and difficulties prepare us, actually, to minister to the people God has called us to minister to, don't you think?
Oh, amen. Absolutely so.
Well, you just came back from, is it Moldova? Where
yes.
is that located, Patrick, and what did you do there?
Moldova is another one of the countries of the former Soviet Union. Moldova is directly south of the country of Ukraine. Very, very small. It's not the smallest country of Europe, but it's the smallest as far as economy, the smallest as far as every category in the country of, or in the continent of Europe there. Moldova is kind of divided into two sections. There's a portion, about a fourth of the country, that has really never left motherland Russia. They still use the Russian ruble. They still have Russian military in that area. When you go through passport control, you go through in the country, you go through it twice because of the Russian influence on that area. You have to have a special visa to be able to go into that part of Moldova. It's a very closed-off area, but tourists can go there, and I've been able to go there to minister. The rest of the country speaks mainly the Romanian language. The rest of the country mm-hmm. used to be a part of Romania before World War II, and so they're very pro-Romanian, very pro-European Union. But once again, they were all a part of the former Soviet Union, so there was no God and no church and lack mm-hmm. of hope in situations. Well, we used to have a church there about 4 or 5 years ago, but then the pastor of that church who came to some of our training events had an opportunity to move to Canada. And trust me, if you're a young person over there and you have the opportunity to move to Germany or Canada or America, you're going to take it like a heartbeat. And that's exactly
yes.
what he did. And
yes.
so we hadn't had any church ministry in Moldova for about 4 years. And so the bishop asked if I would go and just check out Moldova and see what were the possibilities of ministry and what other churches and things were doing. When I went down there in May of this year, I knew zero people. There was one couple that I knew, but they had moved. And so the capital city is Chisinau, and there was nobody, absolutely nobody, that I knew in Chisinau, Moldova. And so because of the war and conflicts in that part of the world these days, I've learned the best thing, the first place I need to go is the American Embassy to check that. And so that way I'm on all their communication systems in case we need to leave the country or be sheltered or something in the changing world these days. But the American Embassy does a lot of wonderful things in Moldova, and several of the embassies are changing. But they have a resource center in which they invite Moldova people to check out books and magazines and movies and all types of things, to come to programs to learn more about America, to think about issues and decision-making and things of that nature, from music to items in the news to just how do you make daily decisions in life. And so I started volunteering at some of those. Again, I didn't know anybody. And to be an American
wow.
person, not knowing anybody and not knowing how to speak the Romanian language, oh, that was difficult. The more I volunteered at the embassy, they asked me to start leading some of the programs. And so I did that. And, oh, that was such a great way to meet so many people, mostly high school
yes.
and university students, but people of all ages. And so after we were done, we would go to the parks or a cafe to drink coffee or one thing or another. And so we got to meet the people. And for an American man to come and be interested in them, to give them hope and a promise, you know, all Americans have big smiles and all Americans like to talk. At least that's what they think over there. But they thought it because of the finances that we have and the opportunities that we have is why we all smile so much. And I keep saying, no, those aren't the Hollywood smiles that you see, but it's the smiles of Jesus Christ. What you see different in those Americans that come over is that all of us are Christians.
Yes.
And all of us want to come and share the good news of Jesus Christ. So that's why we're friendly. That's why we have the big hearts. And so who is this Jesus? What does Jesus do in your life? So that gives those opportunities to start sharing faith. And again, there's a great hopelessness in Moldova, just like it is in many of those countries. And so they think that the hope is either going back to Russia, or their hope is going to the EU, or their hope, Ukrainians for a strong Ukraine, or Moldovians for a strong Moldova. Well, you and I both know that's not the case. Our hope is only in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And it's only Jesus that can make a difference. And for them to hear that, for somebody to take an interest with them, and as we pray together and read the scriptures together and in a group talk about life together. You know, in the days of the Soviet Union, they could never talk together about life issues because you never knew who was going to tattletale on you to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so
Patrick, you know, you're talking about something that I think there are many people in this world who might attend a church that bears the name of Jesus Christ on it and in it, but they do not experience the joy. And I think the key here is that many people do not realize that a personal relationship, a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ is what ignites us from the inside out. And you keep on saying a Jesus-shaped spot, a God-shaped spot in our hearts. It is there. And just religion and the walls of a church, going to church, recitations and rituals and those things do not satisfy. It is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that satisfies. How do people gain a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Patrick?
Slava Boga, praise the Lord. You're absolutely right on that. Because so many Americans, it's, again, the rituals or going to the building or the routine or falling asleep during the sermon on Sunday morning.
Right, right.
And it's not that personal reading the scriptures and really, truly praying to God, expecting to hear an answer from God and really sharing with a group of friends, growing in faith together, challenging each other and growing and encouraging and being there for each other. And that's what we try to do over there is all those things that we just don't talk about God, but we live out God.
Yes.
That people can see the living Christ within our very lives. And it's doing those mission projects again. And that's where it really all comes together. I mean, you can study the scriptures, you can pray together, you can talk about life together, but when you do those mission projects together, and we're helping somebody else, and why are we doing this? And then you see the smile on somebody else's face, and then you hear them say, I'm doing this because Jesus loves me, and I know Jesus loves you. And I say yes on the inside because they got it then. That
we're
truly one beggar sharing with another beggar the bread of life, and that bread of life is Jesus Christ.
Our fellowship with each other ignites our faith, and it just there's just something about it. God admonishes us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves and to speak often about the scriptures and to sing praises to God. And your faith grows as you do those things, and that is having that personal relationship with Jesus. We are just absolutely supposed to do that for it to grow. That's part of the recipe, isn't it?
Absolutely so. For so many people, they think the church is a hotel for saints to gather and sing songs, but the church is much more a hospital for sinners.
Yes,
that
it
each
is.
And every one of us has fallen short of the glory of God, and it's only when we recognize it's not what we do, but it's what God does within each one of us, and that then we can celebrate that Jesus Christ is risen. Christos, Christ, Christos, yes. Us Christ. Christ is risen in
yes.
Russian language.
Yes.
Let me say one other thing about the American Embassy, because I want
yes.
everybody here in America to be excited about this and to know
yes.
that we're just much more than a building there. But the American Embassy really is there to try to change lives and all. And so not only do they offer the books and magazines and movies and games and resources and the programs
mm-hmm.
and activities, but they really try to be involved in the lives of the people. I shared a few moments ago that Moldova was the smallest country and economically the smallest, poorest country in all of Europe. Human trafficking is a huge issue there. Now, there's
yes,
no evidence of human trafficking in the country of Moldova because nobody's got any money in Moldova. There's very, very, very few tourists in Moldova. There's nothing to see in Moldova, basically. But the girls and children's own fathers and grandfathers and uncles and brothers are the main ones that sell their daughter or loved one to someone else to go into human trafficking and human slavery.
Oh.
And then they go to Germany or to Amsterdam or to Denmark or to someplace else. It's through the American Embassy that they're able to bring back some of these young ladies. And there's a place called the Freedom House that the embassy gives money to that enables these young ladies to come back and to try to have a new life. They don't take them back
yes.
to their families again because that would be problems again. But this opportunity. There's some people, and we have Bible study with a group of men, mostly from the American Embassy, every Tuesday morning when I'm in Chisinau, Moldova. And through that group of men, most of which work at the American Embassy, they told me, you know, Pat, we've got the house and the girls live there and they get their food and they're getting an education and getting some job skills, but there's nobody there to teach them the Christian faith. We've asked some of the Moldovan Romanian pastors to do it, but nobody sees that as important. Would you be willing to go? And so each week, I have that great joy of going and working with these young ladies, sharing with them Bible scriptures, praying together, hearing their stories together, giving them the hope through Jesus Christ that they too can have a better life. And what they've gone through can be part of their faith witness as they continue to live. In that same way, the American Embassy has a house because there's a lot of young men that have done petty crimes that are in prison in Moldova, and they come out of jail with no place to go. The unemployment rate in Moldova is more than 60%. So somebody coming out of jail certainly is not going to get a job in any place. So I go to this halfway house once a week and share the gospel with these young men, basically ages 21 to 26, as we share the faith together. I've got another group that throughout all of the countries of the former Soviet Union is age 14 and 15, the young men and young ladies are left out of the orphanage. They're, I don't want to say kicked out, but it's that time that orphanage tells them they need to move on.
Right.
The young men, many of them get involved in drugs and alcohol and different things and have difficulty in life, but it's the young ladies that in so many different countries, oh, there's only one or two things that they could do to make a living because they really don't have the education or the opportunities. So in many, many of our churches, including what we started in Moldova, we have programs and places for these young men in one home and young ladies in a different home to go to that we can provide job skills and more education and get them solid within the Christian faith so they can take those next steps within their life. So
wow,
I went
Patrick.
To Moldova in May, the 1st of May. And
you knew no one, and now look at how God's using you.
Oh,
you knew no one
see,
when you went there.
I wish you could see all the pictures, but we have more than 150 young adults, and I'll send you the pictures. And many of these are on our Facebook page and website.
So awesome.
But the huge number of people of all different ages that are coming to the different ministries and outreaches that we provide, it's just God's amazing grace and glory.
It
I
is.
Just get so excited.
I know. He just definitely called you there. You have a God-given purpose to be there at this particular time. It's so exciting to hear how he's using you there. Patrick, please give us an update on the war and the events in the Ukraine. We hear so much in the news, and some of it, you know, I know we don't understand. Can you give us an update and tell us what's happening?
I'd be delighted to do that. And truly, as Americans, you hear very, very little. You hear very little world news on any situation, but very little news these days on Ukraine and Russia. There were soldiers that were killed again last night. I have weekly conversations with pastors and church members throughout eastern Ukraine and in Crimea, so I have firsthand communications on exactly what's going on in those areas. There was an election in Ukraine this past Sunday, in which across most of the country the elections went smoothly, but in eastern, not in the occupied, not in the pro-Russia occupied area, because they didn't have elections there, but even some of those cities close to that area did not have their elections because there were so much corruptions and struggles and difficulties going on. More than 8,000 people have died in the war thus far, and about half of those are soldiers, and the other half are just individuals. And it's mostly older people and disabled people. More than 2 million people became Ukrainian refugees now of the struggles that have left that area. But it's the older people that says, no, I have always lived here, I'm not going to leave this place, or didn't have the health to be able to run and to leave, or families with disabled children or youth that couldn't leave. And those were the ones that were left behind. So now there's very little shops that are open, very little food. The water and the electricity is off. There's landmines every place. There's not medicines within the hospitals, and very few hospitals have remained open. The advisors from the United Nations were forced out by the Russians and the separatists just a couple of weeks ago, and the horror stories that they told was far beyond that you can possibly believe of what's happening. One of my close friends, and his name just happens to be Sasha, again, a very popular name over there, has just returned to Lugansk. He's a medical doctor and very, very active within our church. He was the music and worship leader of the church. And so I communicated with him just this day to hear his stories of what's going on. And there's still soldiers in the streets, and life is difficult. But his parents...
Wow.
were not able to flee like he fled to another part. And so he wanted to come home to check on his family and to be there with his parents. And so we just need to continue to pray. But praise God, things have improved. That Russians' attention's more on Syria these days. But I can tell you with all truthfulness that when the American media says pro-Russians are there and that Putin continues to deny that Russia had anything to do with it, that there's equal media and people on the streets that will say, oh, there's thousands and thousands of Russian military men on the streets, that they're the ones that controlled everything, that people join them. And there's true. There's many people in Ukraine that remember the glory days of the Soviet Union. And for each of us, the older we become, the more our teenage years become the golden years, and when life was good. And, there's many older people that don't want soldiers dying these days that'll just say, oh, let Russia take it. We don't need war anymore. And things weren't so bad then. And so there's struggles going every place. And the elections held Sunday. Western Ukraine, more pro-European leaders were chosen. In eastern Ukraine, it was more pro-Russian leaders that were chosen. So it's not over with. There's going to be struggles for a long, long time. But once again, in the midst of these struggles, people are asking questions. People are coming to faith because they realize It's not a president. It's not a former president. It's not Putin. It's not Obama. It's not Europe. It's not America. But it can only be God. It can only be Jesus Christ. It can save the people and save each one of them. And so in many of our churches, including in Kerch, Ukraine, which is a part of Premier, they sent me a video today of their worship service on Sunday, this past Sunday, and more people were coming because of the fears they have of the Russian takeover of Crimea, that they want that hope and that promise, and they realize it's in Jesus. And so,
well, you know what, Patrick? We live in a turbulent world today, filled with violence, even in our own country here in the United States of America. We seem to be assailed with many difficulties, with shootings in schools, churches, movie theaters and workplaces, Ferguson, Baltimore. What do you see in all these violent changes? What is happening in our world and in our nation, the United States? What would you say about that?
You read from the Gospel of John a few moments ago, and let me share a few verses from the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament that I think just hits onto that so very, very much. And Jeremiah says in chapter 2, I led you through the wilderness to the land, through the land of deserts and ravines, through the land of drought and darkness, in the land of no return. I brought you to the land of plenty to enjoy the gifts and the goodness, but you have ruined my land. You have disgraced my heritage.
Mm-mm.
Has a nation switched gods, though there aren't really any other gods at all? Have people exchanged my glory for a glory that has no value? Be stunning in such things that your heaven shudders and quakes, declares the Lord. But my people have committed two crimes. They have forsaken me, the springs of living waters, and they have dug wells, broken wells, they can't hold any waters. And truly, overseas, where I am, or here in America, the America, the land of milk and honey, the America that we have the American dream that each of us wants, America that when I grew up and you grew up and so many of your listeners that we prayed every day, that the Ten Commandments were in our schools and we prayed within our schools, and that, I mean, Jesus Christ was truly the God of our land and our people. You could see the nativity sets before Christmas in front of city halls, and it was Jesus that was born, not Black Friday, and America has changed so much. And every time I come home, I mean, such glaring changes and those things that you just listed. And in the past, people from other countries loved Americans. They still love American people. Everybody still wants to move to America. They don't want to go to Russia. These refugees don't want to go to Russia. They want to come to America. They want to go to Germany or someplace where life is good.
Mm-hmm.
But they might have disagreed with American politics in the past, Iraq or Iran or some other situations. But America was always, always the moral value. We might not agree with America politically, these other countries, but if America did it, it had to be the right thing. America was the city on the hill, the light shining out of darkness in the midst of all these other countries and difficulties. But all those things that you just listed with school shootings and movie theaters and so many things, the Ferguson and Baltimore situation, that is played up in the media constantly in these former countries. And they realize it's not the America that it used to be and what's happened to America. And I think, Sissy, you and I would agree it's because we've taken God out of America. We've taken Jesus out of America. And just like these words from Jeremiah, that we have committed two crimes, that we have forsaken God who has provided everything for us, and we put our values into things that are truly absolutely worthless. But Jeremiah continues on, and it's so important to continue to hear the words of Jeremiah that God has a plan for each and every one of us. And it's that plan for our lives that's so, so important. And we just, Jeremiah never gave up hope. Jeremiah just knew that God was with us and leading us and guiding us. It was the people that needed to regain that faith. And we can never give up hope. And as Christians, we just can't let this happen. When I'm overseas
right.
with social ministry, we just can't let things be the same. It's
right.
not ordinary, it's extraordinary. And as Christians here, we need to be extraordinary. We need to be like Jeremiah on that leading edge, making the changes that brings our families, our neighborhoods, our churches, our communities, our nation back to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Exactly. We are to be light and salt, the Word of God says. A light is something that lights the way, like the sun lights up the earth. We as Christians are supposed to light the way for others to know Jesus Christ. Salt is the flavor that is added to food to make it delicious and delectable. And the love of God is what makes life livable. And when one person lives without Jesus, that life can be so miserable. But when a nation lives without Jesus, Patrick, it's a whole nation of people with those empty spots in their hearts. And that's when the enemy can come in, and he has come in like a flood, and people are trying to stuff that spot in their hearts with just about anything that they can to feel better. But you and I both know that Jesus Christ is the only comfort we can truly have, the only source of strength, comfort, provision, protection, wisdom. He is everything to us, isn't he?
And I so want all your listeners to hear that and to believe that and to understand that, because every person listening to the program tonight is going through some type of hurt and pain, drugs or alcohol or problems with family relationships or difficulties at work or financial situations or schools or just seeing all the struggles on TV of what's going on. Every one of us have problems. But
yeah.
great, but God's greater than any of those problems. And if
yeah,
everybody
yeah.
could read Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, in which, once again, Jeremiah reminds the people that it was God that took them from the bondage and slavery of Egypt to the promised land. That,
yeah,
that when they were hungry and thirsty, that God gave them manna from heaven and water from the rocks, that God provided a fire at night and a pillar by day to lead them through, that even though life was a struggle, God never forgot. God was always, always with them. And it was only when they changed their hearts and turned their hearts more back towards God that they were able to enter the promised land.
Okay.
And in 31 to 34, it tells that story. And in verse 34, Jeremiah says, they will no longer need to tell each other that God loves them, but know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wrongdoings and never again remember their sins. So
yeah.
the sins and the struggles that we're going through, we can, as a country, turn back towards God, as a family, that we can turn back towards God, as an individual, that we can lay aside our problems and struggles and turn back towards God, that God
Absolutely.
Won't remember those sins and problems, but to keep Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Absolutely.
And that's what we teach and preach overseas, and oh, I so want all your listeners to hear that and believe that tonight.
I do too, Patrick, and you know what? The policeman, if we make a U-turn in the middle of the road, will probably give us a traffic ticket. We might even get arrested for doing that. But God is the only one I know who welcomes us, encourages us to make a U-turn. And it doesn't matter what you've done or what you've said or where you've been. I believe the only unforgivable sin is to reject the grace of God, the love of Jesus, because then you can't be forgiven if you don't know that love and don't invite that into your life. And God is inviting people tonight, no matter where they are, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, come and I'll make you as white as snow. And that is what he's done in my life. That's what he's done in your life. And he just transforms us. It's called being born again. So I hope our listeners tonight also will know that no matter who you are, Jesus has his arms open to you tonight and loves you with an everlasting love.
Yeah, and that reminds me of the story of the prodigal son. And
yes.
It's the older brother and some others that didn't want the son who sinned and ran away to come back because they were no longer worthy. Oh, there's so many people in our lives that tell us that we're not worthy, that
yes.
tell us bad things that get us off track. But in that story, the father's there with his open arms running down the road to greet his son. And God's running after each one of us, greeting us and calling us back to whole relationship again. And that's what I find when I travel, is when I tell those stories, people want that. People want God's personal relationship through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ within. And you see such a dramatic life transformation.
Yes, you do.
So many Americans kind of know about Jesus or gone to church in the past or one thing or another. And so when they hear about God or read a little bit about the Bible, it doesn't make a big deal to their lives. But overseas, and what gives me the joy so much, just like the man Sasha, you can just see such big, big changes in all of their lives.
Amen. Well, Patrick, how can we learn more about Sasha, your ministry, and be supportive of your ministry in the countries of the former Soviet Union? How can we help you?
We personally have to raise 100% of everything that we do for all the different ministries. So when we go to orphanages, when we help with human trafficking, when we do the big conferences, when we have the youth camps and vacation Bible schools, when we do feed the homeless, I mean, all the different ministries, we raise 100% of all that. There's no one organization that gives us the money. So we have a website, www.sashaministry.org. We have, I'm on Facebook, both my name, Patrick Whaley, and we have a picture of me doing a baptism. And then we have a Facebook page called Sasha Ministry that will have many pictures and the stories that are there. And it gives the information. But I'm thankful to a particular church, and that's Germantown United Methodist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. None of the money goes to the church, but they have a separate bank account for us, and they do all the financial work for us, so we don't have to hire anybody because we want all the money given for the ministry to actually be doing the ministry. So that's at 2331 South Germantown Road, Germantown, Tennessee, 38138. 2331 South Germantown Road, Germantown, Tennessee, 38138. I'll be happy to talk to anybody at any time, 901-337-4178, 901-337-4178, or please go to the Facebook page or my personal page or the website to get more information. But, yes, we need supporters and encouragers, and for you to know that all the money and resources that you give will go directly in helping in these ministries and bringing people to relationship with Jesus Christ.
Well, Patrick, it's just an awesome work you're doing over there. I've just been so delighted to talk to you tonight. My heart is just so stirred about the work you're doing and for the people of the Ukraine and Russia. Thank you for being on the program tonight. But before we close, I'd like to pray for you and your mom, for Sasha Ministry, for these precious people in Ukraine and Russia. And if you feel led afterwards,
absolutely,
Patrick, if you'll play too. Lord Jesus, we just praise you. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are Lord of our lives individually. You are Lord of heaven and earth. You made the world and everything in it. And Father God, we just praise you for your grace in sending your precious only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. to Dafras. Your word says that we have all come short of your glory, Lord. We are all sinners, and it's just the way it is, Lord. It originated in Adam and Eve, and it is passed down and passed down. There's nothing we can do about that sin nature except your love and your payment for our sins, so that we can know you personally and be forgiven and one day have a home in heaven with you. Lord, thank you for the grace that you gave to my life, the mercy you showed me, for I was a sinner and I was lost, and now I'm found, Lord. And I've spent 19 glorious years with you, Lord, and those are the best years I've ever had, and I love you so much. I thank you for Patrick and for his salvation and his faith, Lord, in you, and for being obedient to the call, Lord, you placed upon his life to go and make disciples in other nations, to share the gospel, Lord. I pray tonight that you're just going to anoint him, God. I pray you're going to renew him inside and out, Lord. You are just going to renew his health, his mind, his soul, his body. I pray you're going to meet all of his needs, Lord, while he's here, and the needs of Sasha Ministry. I pray you move on hearts, Lord, to support this work in the Ukraine and Russia, because this is your work, Lord. You are saving lives. You are transforming lives, Lord, that need to be saved and transformed. Thank you for Patrick's dear mother, Lord, who had a part in helping him to learn to speak clearly and to enunciate so that he could go and share your gospel, Lord. We pray for her tonight, Lord, that she is going to feel your peace and your presence so close to her that you are just going to bless this time between Patrick and his mom. Let there be many sharings of happy memories and a closeness, Lord, that is just going to be something they will remember, Lord. I thank you for her role in Patrick's life and for what a wonderful servant of yours and what a wonderful parent she has been to Patrick. We pray for mothers and grandmothers, as Patrick was talking tonight, to take that role very seriously and to consider their children and grandchildren, their ministry here on earth, and to nurture them and teach them the scriptures and teach them about Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray for these precious people in the Ukraine and Russia. Father, this has been a nation who didn't know you and didn't experience for many, many years that personal relationship with Jesus, and they need you so, Lord. We just pray you will pour your spirit out on this war-torn land of the Ukraine and Russia. Father, every heart, as Patrick says, has an empty hole inside, and it's shaped like you. It's just shaped like you. It was there from our conception, Lord, and it is there till the day we die, and until you fill it, Lord, we are incomplete, and we can only know the glory and the joy of knowing you if we ask you to be our Savior and repent of our sins and ask you to come into our lives and fellowship with other Christians and grow in our faith and pray to you and commune with you. So I pray that you will pour your spirit out in Ukraine and Russia and draw people through your Holy Spirit to the truth and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray also for the United States of America, Lord. We have pushed you away when you are the source of everything that was good about this country. You blessed us, Lord, above other nations, God. We had such peace. We had such safety. We had such provision. And, Lord, you will not go where you're not wanted. You won't stay where you're not wanted. You say for us to ask and we'll receive, and so many have quit asking. But you also say that if we'll humble ourselves and pray, then you'll heal our land. Lord, we pray for America, that you will move on hearts and stir the hearts of people to know that the emptiness and the desolation and the violence that is here, Lord, is because we have forsaken our God, our Creator, his Son Jesus, and our faith. Father, move on this land that is as truly war-torn as the Ukraine in other ways. And Father, just bless this nation and heal our land. We just pray, Lord, tonight for Patrick, that you will strengthen him as he's here, that you will send him back in great power and anointing, and that you will move on hearts to support this awesome ministry of his. We just ask all these things in Jesus' precious name.
And Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise for each and every day, because every day, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And, O Lord, you've given us a call for each one of our lives in ministry, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes.
You've given us all different gifts and talents. For Alex, it's writing books. For Sissy, it's radio shows and the many different activities that she's involved in. And for each one of our listeners, you have planted seeds in each one of their lives and given them gifts and talents, as we read about in Isaiah 55, that it's not our ways, but it's your ways, O God. And it's the rain and the snow that comes from heaven that waters those seeds and plants that they might bloom and flourish greater than we can ever expect. And, oh, Lord, we think of just small things, or think of lots of reasons why we can't do things, or we say no to opportunities. But we see all around us in America, and within our families, and within our schools, and within our communities. I see all around us in countries around the world, and we've learned again through media in the past weeks, that's of the refugees and wars and struggles and finances and economics, and every country affects people of every other country. And so we don't need to be only concerned about where we live, but we truly need to be concerned for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, as Lord.
Yes.
And it's giving that son, Jesus Christ, to those that we love most dearly, that's closest to us, and praying and giving ourselves so that Jesus Christ's name might be praised and glorified and lived out in countries and with people that we will never, ever see in our lifetime. But we know that every single person's a child created in God's precious image. Every color, every nationality, every language spoken, that God, through Jesus Christ, wants a personal relationship with. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of every person's sin. And as we have turned away from God, that this is our opportunity, that we need to seize, that we need to take a stand today. We've seen the slippage and the years that had gone by, but we need to say no more. That Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And dear God, help us in our own given situation, and help us through Sasha Ministries and other organizations as they share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people that have never heard, never had that opportunity. People that have been disabled that are hearing that they're whole, made new in Jesus. Young people without hope and take drugs and alcohol to relieve the pain, realizing that there is a future because of what Jesus has done.
Yes.
And families that have been broken, that they can be healed and whole once again. Oh God, that's our hope and our promise for every family, and that can only happen not because of what we do, because the world's a mess because of what humans do, but it's only what God can do through each and every one of us. So God, continue to bless Alex and Sissy through this radio ministry. Continue to put within every person's heart a very specific ministry, very specific people that we can go and reach out to. And, oh, Lord, I'm just so, so thankful that doors have opened for all the countries of the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, and then for very specific cities and communities and locations in which people say, Pat, would you go do that? Because of God's grace, we can say yes. Because of God's grace, that hopefully each one of us can say yes. Yes to Jesus, that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And we want to say, share the love of Jesus with others. So God, may we glorify your holy name in all that we say and do. by the way that we live our very lives. May those who don't know Jesus see that and will claim Jesus as their own personal Lord and Savior. That's our hope and prayer this day and each and every day. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to say. And if you go to Jerusalem, very, very close to the location in which so much violence and struggles have taken place these last few days and weeks and years, in hundreds of different languages from around the world, the Lord's Prayer is written there on the Mount of Olives. So may we close, and all the listeners in your own homes say this prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day thy daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Amen.
And amen.
And amen. Oh, Patrick, you're just wonderful. You're just such a wonderful guest, and I've enjoyed so much having you on this program tonight. I could go on for another hour. Thank you so much.
Oh, I could too. There's so many stories to tell.
We have come to the close of another wonderful program, and I hope our listeners will continue to pray for Patrick as he does God's work in the Ukraine and Russia, and pray about supporting this very important ministry. Join me again next week when I will talk with another inspiring guest who reflects God's gifts. Till then, may God keep us in his tender care. Good night, Patrick, and good night, listeners.
Good night, listeners. Thank you, Sissy. May God be with
each and
everyone.
Thank you, Patrick. You as well. Thank you.
LifeQuest Christian Network.